Let's get ready to rumble.
How was your fourth?
My fourth was okay. Nothing too exciting. Family went out in the morning, went geocaching, and then we went downtown for the fireworks. We parked at the office and just stood on the 16th Street Bridge.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
A little far away. I wouldn't want to be any further away. However, zipped out of there, zipped onto the highway, and was home in no time.
Yeah.
Where Heather's dad was down at the baseball game. And I don't know if they watched the fireworks from the ballpark or if they left the ballpark, but they didn't get home until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I was trying to, because I was at my friend's farm, and we launched off our own little fireworks display down there, just bought some stuff. But I tried to get home, it was about 11:30 or so, and the ways I was trying to get in, it was packed. And so I finally, figured, all right, I need to go all the way around to get into an area where it's not packed. But it was just packed just getting into the city.
Right.
So it was rough.
Yeah, so fun. Found 25 geocaches yesterday.
Wow.
It's a record. It's a lot.
Anything cool?
It's just a good time out in the woods, right? Went down to Brady's Run State Park, and they had the place is crazy dense for caches. And actually, we didn't find most of them there, but hiking trail. It's easy for the kids when we get on a hiking trail, and every tenth of a mile or so, there's a geocache in. You know, so that works out pretty well. So we did that. A lot of fun yesterday. And then, like I said, the fireworks, they were okay. They weren't bad. If we were even further away, would have been eh. But if we were doing that same kind of thing next year, we'd probably walk down the bike trail.
Have you thought about geocaching leaving stuff with your kids? Not just finding stuff?
We have hidden a cache. There's one over by Blade Runners we've hid, Allie. It's called Alligator. And she's always checking, asking if anyone's found it and reading the log entries to her and whatnot. And then they have things that are trackables. They call them travel bugs. You take your tchotchke and you put on this serial numbered dog tag with it, right? So when people find these, they log that they've picked it up, right? So it's kind of like tracing the serial number of your dollar bill type thing, but it's for these things. So you can see where your travel bug goes throughout the world, right?
What I would like to do is because you can do it with Amazon and other places. You buy 100 little tchotchkes for $5 and just make a geocache and say, hey, if you found this geocache, here, take one of these little tchotchkes. And sort of, it's a fun thing.
That's kind of how it works, right? I mean, we loaded up our... bought an ammo box, and... because they clamp... the clamps closed, they're waterproof. Amazon had them for $7, so it was a pretty good deal. And we just loaded up with... not... with old tchotchke, old toys and stuff like that, so there's plenty of... and we put the travel bugs in there, so... Allie has a travel bug, Max has one. I created a brewery one. We'll see if it gets any. They can have goals, right? So the goal for that one is, take a picture of it in front of breweries,
I see.
Kind of thing. So we'll see if it gets any leverage, goes anywhere. So we've been doing that, and I found 100 so far this summer. So kids enjoy it. It's funny, the kids will be like, no, I don't want to go. And as soon as they're out there, they're loving it. So you gotta throw them in the car.
Right.
But once they're in the car, it's a good time, at least for about 2 or 3 hours.
You have to get them away from their video games.
Yeah. Video games or, they've been playing a ton of Legos.
Mm.
The Lego movie has really got them back into Legos. And every day last week, they were, when it was hot outside, they had swim lessons in the morning. So after swim lessons, they came back and every day I'm getting pictures of all the stuff they built out of Legos.
That's cool.
And then Allie drew me plans of how to, because that train table that's upstairs is now her Lego town table, right? And she drew me plans on how to expand that out so she can have more room. And it was eerily, there was three different diagrams, and it was almost like a front, side, and top. I mean, not a technical drawing, but she's 6 years old. She's never seen one of those. But it was her. It was an amazing interpretation of Dad needs to know these pieces.
Right.
And then she's like, because it has a little lip around the edge. She's like, take off this one, and then she really had thought through what I needed to do to expand that table.
Cool.
And it was pretty. I mean, the picture conveyed what she wanted very clearly. It was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Good thinking. She's starting to think three-dimensionally.
Yeah. It was nuts. I was just like, wow, I can't believe she came up with that kind of instruction.
Speaking of thinking in multiple dimensions, any questions or FTL stuff that wasn't covered last time? I think we kind of nailed it after a while.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think as soon as we talked about, you know...
consequences.
Yeah, the consequences. Because I was fine with everyone having their own history type thing, yeah. Right? So, you know, I was like, they're both right. Until, you know, and we just didn't really talk through the until part.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. So, the World Cup is still going on. Did you see my tweet, World Cup related?
I had a couple. So. No.
My first one was that once the U.S. got knocked out, let me see what exactly the tweet was. Because I thought it was clever. Can I stop pretending to not be annoyed at people pretending to actually care about soccer now? Because my problem is not people who always care about soccer and therefore love it. If you hear about soccer, then this is a great time for you.
Uh-huh.
My problem is with people who pretend to care about soccer right now because it's a big thing, but who will 2 months from now be like, oh, did that actually happen this year? And then 6 months from now, they won't even remember a thing about it. It's like the Olympics.
Right.
It just bugs me when people do that, when people get into this big thing about how great soccer is. And then they're like, yeah, you know what? I watched it, and it actually was really fun. I actually had a great time watching it. And then are they watching it, you know, are they watching MLS next year? No. The only reason why they give a shit is because everybody else around them is pretending to give a shit, too.
Yeah. But why do you... So, you know, you have a disdain for these people, I guess.
I don't have a disdain. Well, whatever. It just annoys me.
It annoys you. But people who are, you know, watch the Olympics, they don't annoy you.
Sure they do.
Do they? Annoy you in the same way?
Yeah.
Okay.
People who are not people who watch these sports or who care anything about these sports, but for the period of time the Olympics is on, think that... are really caring about it. And especially, I think what hurts the most is that we're such a large country, and so people are like, USA, and it's like, there are 300 million people in the USA. There's huge different diversity of views, opinions, groups of people, etc., throughout the entire world, and it's going to be one group of people that are going to represent all of us? It's absurd.
Okay. I like the Olympics. But I don't take the time to watch downhill skiing normally. I don't take the time to watch... I don't know. I'm trying to think of another Olympic sport. Biathlon.
Uh-huh.
Well, they cover biathlon wrong on the Olympics. They should cover it more like a race. Like not a race. Where it's about the building of the story. But you know, they cover it like sport, you know...
I'm just going to fix your thing here. That'll make no noise?
No. They cover it in just sound bites and whatnot, and it annoys... I mean, it could be such a more interesting story.
Well, see, that, like so you are actually annoyed by Olympic coverage, because they don't actually cover the stories you like.
Yeah.
They cover the shit that, you know, that people will watch anyway.
Yeah.
The ice skating, which is on all the time.
Yeah.
And people watch it all the time. And basketball. That right. was Winter Olympics.
Basketball summer. Hockey.
Hockey, summer. Right.
But, yeah, I mean, so I'm not satisfied with TV coverage. But people who tune in for the Olympics every 4 years, people who tune in for the World Cup every 4 years, and then don't generally give a shit about those sports off the four-year cadence. Mm-hmm. They don't annoy me. I think it's okay. I think that, you know, it's a international, it's a global competition.
The Olympics frustrates me a little bit less because it's such a large amount of different sports going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is legitimately, like, you know, I don't really get a chance to watch curling that often or whatever. So, hey, you know, I get to see it and it's kind of fun. And then there's a whole bunch of different stuff going around and, you know, I get to see that. So I can accept the Olympics more than I can accept just
okay.
the World Cup, because it's just soccer or football, however you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I think it's an interesting sport. I think it, you know, I don't think it's a bad sport. I think it's a good sport. I think it has a lot going for it. But if you're not into the sport, like, I'm not into football. I'm just not. So I accept people like it. It's whatever. I'm not into hockey. So just the idea that people get so excited for this, and people are actually watching soccer in America, mm-hmm. and they're like, I'm going to watch soccer all the time. This is amazing. And then as soon as US leaves, they don't care about it at all.
Right.
So
I did catch last weekend. Yeah, last weekend. We were at OTB in North Park for lunch, and it was on the TV, right? So I'm watching it. I haven't at any time. I don't have get time with the kids, you know, to sit down and turn on the TV and watch any sporting event, be it baseball, soccer, football, NASCAR, anything. Just don't get to watch those sporting events anymore. But so the soccer game was on, so I was watching it, and I've never said soccer's amazing, but it was the end of the Netherlands Mexico game, and Mexico just kind of screwed the pooch. Netherlands scored a goal in stoppage time, I think, to tie it up. And then they got this bad penalty kick and won it. I was like, wow, you know, it's kind of thrilling, you know, watching, like, seeing the comeback. I'm all, you know, when I'm not invested in either of the teams, I always root for the underdog to make it a good go, you know, okay. to have a good go, right? If you're not invested in the teams, you want the game to be close and exciting, right? So I don't care about Netherlands or Mexico. I don't even, you know, only care about the United States because I'm American, right? So I'm always going to root for the team that's behind to come back and make it exciting. So it was interesting. I mean, it was fun to see Netherlands come back and you know, greatly upset Mexico.
Cool.
But that's the extent of my World Cup experience this year.
So, another thing that happened this week is that out of nowhere, kind of completely unexpected because it was the last day it could possibly happen, Community got renewed.
What the what? Nice.
It was the last day it could happen because after that day, which was June 30th, the contract, the actor's contract would have expired. Mm-hmm. And this had to have been going on for a couple days, probably a week or so more, more, just to get everybody on board. But it was renewed because NBC decided to not renew it.
So then I guess the producer shops it around. Is that kind of thing that happens?
Sony runs Community, okay. So Sony shops it around. Sony is the production company behind it, and so they shop it around a whole bunch, and the idea was, I think first it was another cable network or something, uh-huh. but the immediate idea looked to be like Hulu, because Hulu has back rights to all of the first five seasons, and Hulu's looking to get into the
original content
market, because that's where the money is now. And so apparently sometime in that period of time, Yahoo said to the guy, the Sony, we're really interested in the Community, and actually we'll give you as much money as you're doing before to make it. But talks were big with Hulu at the time. Uh-huh. And so they're like, it was just thought of, you know, Yahoo, whatever. They're not a player. But as talks sort of broke down with Hulu, they asked Yahoo again. Yahoo was like, yeah, we're really interested. So they went to Yahoo.
That's cool. I mean, I kind of told you last time we talked about it, like it seemed like a great thing for internet original content property, right? Because it has an established brand. It doesn't have a huge audience, but it has a devout audience, right?
Right.
And
it's about credibility. I mean, Yahoo is not doing it necessarily because they love Community. They're doing it because it gives them credibility as a platform for distributing things. So therefore, they are in the discussions with producers who want to then produce something.
There's that, but also if they get anywhere close to the network ratings that weren't good enough for NBC,
right?
Pretty good for
absolutely
an online property.
It's fantastic for an online property. And I bet it will be more, because I mean, the thing is that Community always was larger online than it was on networks.
Now, what is it going to, maybe they don't have this fleshed out yet. I'm curious what it's going to be rated. You know, like, is it going to be
I don't, I mean,
say for network broadcast,
I would not be surprised if they drop a couple, you know, shit or something like in there. I mean, I bet they won't go full bore Howard Sternish with it, but
we see Allison Breeze boobies.
There's no reason to think that they can't put, you know, do a little bit more of a kind of Comedy Central, like pushing the envelope on certain things, right, or even like, right. You know, Louie does it or, or, you know, Rick and Morty, you know, they'll bleep out fuck, but they won't bleep out shit, because shit is not really that bad a word anyway. Right.
That's what they need to do on, The Walking Dead needs to go on online, right? Yeah. Because you're in the fucking end times of zombies, and they can't say, fuck!
That was, I forget, I was watching the 10-year anniversary of Lost Peli Fest at a panel with like Damon Lindelof, Carl Hughes, and a couple of the actors, and they, you know, they said, you know, one of the things about network censorship is we made Sawyer have a catchphrase of "son of a bitch," but so, you know, in a real world, a guy like Sawyer would not say "son of a bitch,"
yeah,
say "fucking shit" or something like that,
yeah.
Motherfucker.
Well, it's like, you know, you're mowing down zombies or running for your life, and you can't say anything worse than "gosh darn it,"
yeah. So that was an interesting thing to happen. There was, I retweeted somebody, because we talked about the Supreme Court decision, but the day before, and it came down pretty much worse for everybody. The Hobby Lobby decision.
Oh, yeah.
And they said corporations have legitimate religious concerns. Oh, God. That just makes things, and so it was George Takei made an interesting quote saying, you know, what if a corporation wants to practice Sharia law? How does the Supreme Court deal with that? And this guy Atria said the decision concerns only the contraceptive mandate. As I tweeted earlier, religion is now only about unapproved fucking.
Well, that's it. I mean, what's his name? The one justice the.
Alito,
right? He kind of wrote in his part of his opinion, right, that this is I can't quote it. I don't remember, but basically, there was a previous law, or a previous case that was thrown out because guy was claiming it was his religious right, religious beliefs, not to serve black people in his restaurant, right? And they were mentioned about how race was very different then. Government gone mandated contraceptive. Now I can't go into the details on how he explained that, but I mean, so they kind of tried to narrow. So I don't know whether Sharia law would fall into that one versus the contraceptive.
But that's the point: is that religion now only applies to how people fuck? That's all it cares about. That's considerably less than it used to be about. That's all people are holding on to for something for religion to, you know, to have some sort of reason in their life is, you know, well, it's about how you can fuck and who you can fuck and what you can fuck. It's like that really loses a lot of its power.
Yeah. What if the Roman Catholic Church came out and said that, you know, condoms were okay? Would that pretty much eliminate all this nonsense?
I don't know. I don't know. But it's stupid.
Of all the things that your religion tells you to do, it you know, you believe that you're sinning by paying for your employee's contraception.
Because the people who are in power in religions right now have made it all about the sex, because right now in America, at least, sex is still considered it's still puritanical in a certain sense, and so sex is still considered.
I hear you, but I'm trying to think that, you know, put myself in the mind of our, and maybe this is the problem, they're probably not rationally thinking about, you know, they're just voting straight ticket, they're just doing what, you know, the religion, you know, maybe not even what the religion tells them, but what they think, you know, they hear what the religion tells them from the establishment, right? The political religious establishment. But I'm just trying to think, like, of all the things that my God wants me to do, that, you know, of all the things that I could do that could be considered a sin, paying for an insurance plan that covers contraception. And that's what goes to the Supreme Court. It is silly.
Yeah. It is silly. I don't know what we're going to do about it. Maybe we can dump a whole bunch of freshwater snails on him.
Did you like that? That
was, I did like that.
I saw this infographic. It's mosquito month, right? Go back in the Twitter feed for me. And I said, you know, what's your favorite part of this infographic? And I just kind of tied in Greg, so he made sure he saw it and would comment on it. And I think Dave from England, UK, commented on it as well. It had, you know, death spy, and it starts out with things really small, like hippopotamus and alligators, and it gets bigger.
Sharks and things
like that. And then, like, the top one is mosquitoes. The second one, I think, is humans, right? Yeah. The third one was dogs. And the fourth one, I think it was the fourth one, it was fourth or fifth, was freshwater snails.
Yeah.
So, basically, like, that was my favorite part of this thing. And Greg Cutter, I was like, no one thinks about the fucking snails.
Yeah, okay, so it goes mosquito, humans, mosquito at 725 million. That's number of people killed by animals per year. So 725,000 people are killed by mosquitoes a year. Nearly 500,000 people are killed by humans a year. Down to, that's the major thing. Uh-huh. Snakes down to 50,000. So it's still a lot, but not that. Dog via rabies, 25,000. Tsetse fly, 10,000. Assassin bug. Already you're getting the things you don't really normally think about. Uh-huh. But the assassin bugs, okay, you know, they're 10,000 people.
I'm surprised that was so many. Yeah. Because, I mean, the only people that die from assassin bugs is ones that go to an anaphylactic shock.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
And you see what you see further down, well, but I mean, if you're out in the jungle or whatever and you get anaphylactic shock, I guess it's...
Yeah.
If you further down, there's ones like, you know, shark is 10 people, wolf is 10 people, elephant 100. But yeah, right next to assassin bug at 10,000 is freshwater snails. Huh? And then it goes to roundworms and tapeworms and crocodiles.
So I actually looked it up, and there's a parasite that the snails put into water.
Is it Giardia? Is that what it is?
It's not Giardia. It's something else. It's actually, there's a colloquialism for it called snail fever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different kind of parasite that's bad. And that's what kills the people. But yeah, those fucking snails. Speaking of animals, did you see the, it was probably 2 weeks ago, the last week tonight, where they were talking about how Boko Haram or one of those militant groups was giving up and moving out because the monkeys and the snakes in the bush were too, I think it was monkeys and snakes, right? In the bush, you know, we've tried for a decade to get these guys out and they couldn't bug in the budge, but they're leaving because of the snakes and the monkeys.
Yeah.
And then he's like, scorpions, I'm calling you out. And then he plays a clip from the local news station here in Pittsburgh about the scorpion that was found in the bananas at a Walmart.
Right.
So yes, our ridiculous news coverage about scorpions and Walmarts made it last week tonight.
Hooray! That reminds me of something that I was talking to at the farm yesterday. I was talking to some friends. You know, I kind of have a Pittsburgh family. Like Damien's family has sort of adopted me as sort of their Pittsburgh son. But they were talking about how they are constantly getting these deer attacks. You know, they can't put out a garden because the deer will start eating it. And they even put like a big fence around it, and they even electrified the fence, and the deer find their way in. And I was like, you know, that's interesting. And then they started mentioning how when they started to make their house, what they did is, you know, the whole area was completely wooded, and they tore down a whole bunch of trees to put their house there. And I was like, I'm just thinking back of my mind, I didn't say it. I was thinking back of my mind, well, you just encroached on their territory. I mean, of course, that was theirs. And of course, they're going to be curious and go back to that area that you just knocked down all those trees. So, you know, just the idea that you can encroach upon a natural territory and not get the bothersome things that happen when you encroach upon natural territory.
Right.
It's a little silly.
Deer. You never think about the fucking deer. Eating your cabbage.
And there are definitely too many deer because they don't have a natural predator.
Not anymore, no. We need more wolves.
Yeah.
I think we should put wolves in the neighborhood. The dingo ate my baby. I'm not a dingo. Did you see that one from last week?
Yes. I am not a dingo.
That was
anything on your list?
Anything on my list? I talked about geocaching. Work settling down pretty good. I still got a lot of stuff to tie up to get everything monitored and all that stuff, but work's doing pretty good. Going on vacation a couple weeks. Well, actually, we might be going camping next weekend. I'll let you know if that firms up so we can schedule an alternate day.
Any word on the Gabbeth?
Oh, I haven't brought it up. I'll have to ask her. I'll talk to her this week about it and see what she says. Then we can talk to Bradley and see if he can make use of us.
Yeah.
Get some more complimentary lodging and or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what else is going on. Summer's almost... I mean, officially summer's just started, but the summer season's half over.
Yeah, technically when summer starts, it's technically the middle of summer. Mm-hmm. Depending on how you want to look at the way right. It works. Sorry.
Don't you love autoplay?
Oh, God. It's been... It's been a while. It's been a long time since the weather has been this good. It was really great for Saturday. It was like 72 degrees or something. It was beautiful.
Oh, yesterday morning. Yeah. I mean, we left geocaching nice and early because it was 70s. We try to wear pants when we're out in the woods, keep ticks down, keep scratches down, things like that. But that can get pretty hot in the summer. Previous to that, like July 3rd, July 4th, it was hot for a long time. Yeah. I'm sure you were hating it.
It was sticky and gross, and it was just in the 90s, and just, ugh, it was terrible.
Even if it wasn't in the 90s, it was 90% humidity, yeah. So felt like it.
So if you spend any time outdoors, you're going to be drenched.
Yep.
I mean, we tried to do D&D outdoors once, and... I was drenched I was DMing that night, and I was just running around doing descriptions, getting drenched with that, and I thought, well, I'm sweating a lot. Then I noticed that all the papers that we had became waterlogged. Every single piece of paper, it was just that humid.
There's a kind of paper called Write in Rain or something like that. It's a waterproof paper. Mm-hmm. It's kind you... like for geocache logs, because water infiltrates all those, right? So you can even write on it in ink when it's wet or not. You should get some of that for your outside geocache.
Expensive just to do.
Yeah.
You know.
We went the other night. We had a dinner at Mad Max. Heather took Allison, or Heather took Max to meet her sister. So I took Allison. We stopped and picked up a couple, like park and grab type geocaches.
Yes.
And we stopped by the comic book store and, went in, just since we were there, went in. She went to go look at see if there's any new My Little Pony comics out. But there was two D&D games going on. They have a table set up in the back, and there's two guys, two groups of people playing D&D. Interesting group of people.
It's D&D is just the more I thought about it, the more I realize it is a poker game. It's the same basic deal. You're hanging out with your friends, you're enjoying each other's company, and then also you're playing a game that has stakes. It's based on, there's a combination of skill and luck involved.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just the game is a little bit more complex than just cards. You're playing a story, but that's all really is. You're playing a game.
Yeah. I was going to say something along the lines of the rules aren't as predetermined, but the rules are determined, right?
Yeah.
It's just the story, and I'm sure the DM's, one of his primary goals is to not sway the story to give a favorable or ill-favorable outcome to the player or anything
right.
like that.
Right. It depends on the DM. I mean, some teams do it more than others, but generally you let the players decide what's going on. You give them a rough outline of what's there, and you let them decide what they want to do with it.
So I mean, they probably often choose to do things you've considered, so you have a predetermined outcome or difficulty of such a task, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you, when someone goes out on left, does a left turn, right,
mm-hmm.
and does something, how hard is it to quickly determine the difficulty of such task, right? To make it
in general, play type thing. What I find is that you create something and you create sort of incidentals along with it. Like if something happens outside of this, then maybe I create some extra things, or at least I do some outlines of things that they could encounter, mm-hmm. and maybe I'll play with that. But sometimes it's just, well, okay, I know what this group's capable of. Before I do a little bit of improv,
you know, I've read some stuff on what could be out there, or I've come up with some ideas what could be out there, or I'm just doing having to do it on the fly, and I'll come up with something. Right. And you just do that, you know, you fuss around, and if you end up making things too hard, then you may massage things a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you end up making things too easy, then you may massage things a little bit. You'll see how it goes, but it's not. It's mostly written in stone, but I don't know many people who DM like Abed, who just do it like right. the die rolls are the die rolls, period, and that's it. There's usually going to be like, okay, this guy crit, and that means he's going to kill two people. I'll lighten off that. Or like, they're never going to beat this guy. Well, you hit or something like that. So there's things like that. If you feel like you gave them, you put them in a situation that is not going to be fun. It's all about making it fun.
Right. The both games, the Dungeon Masters, were going right out of a book.
Yeah, because that's the easiest way to do it. There are these modules that are done, and they give you the basics of the encounters, and you're still DMing.
Okay.
You're still in control of the game, and you're still being able to you know, alternate, change the game a little bit as you see fit. They're not stuck in stone what you have to do, but they give you, you know, a nice, you know, nice structure of rooms to go and what treasure you'd find there and things like that. That's all done for you instead of you having to write it all out beforehand.
I see.
It's just helpful.
Yeah, the one guy was like reading word for word.
The descriptions are usually really good in there.
Okay. Maybe that's why.
I try to write when I'm doing stuff decent descriptions, but it takes a lot of practice to get decent floral descriptions like they have in those books.
I see.
They're handy. But I only use one when I was first starting out. So,
want to drink some of these beers that are getting warm here?
That's the deal. That's what we're here for.
All right, sounds good.